From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Claire Strimple with a quick look at your local and statewide news. It's going to get hot in Juneau this weekend and next week. KTOO checked in with the National Weather Service meteorologist Rick Fritsch for the details.
Well, we have a situation where the rain has dried out, and we're going to be looking at increasing daytime temperatures beginning today and lasting through the weekend into next week. To give you an idea what we're really expecting, getting into the low to mid-70s on Friday, tomorrow, mid-70s on Saturday, and high 70s to low 80s on Sunday, with temperatures likely going warmer than that as we enter the next work week.
Wow. So what should Junoites know about getting ready for the heat?
I would think probably the most important thing to remember is that, of course, like most of us here in Juneau, we don't have air conditioning. So one of the things that I know I like to do on these very hot days that are dry and sunny is I keep my blinds drawn, and that limits the amount of heat that comes in through the glass during the heat of the day. That helps out. Also, it's important to remember that those either members of our population or other valuable family members like pets could suffer tremendously if left in vehicles with the windows raised, parked in a sunny location, say in the Fred Meyer parking lot or Costco or something like that. So that's another thing to really remember and be mindful of.
Tell me about air quality. Is that going to change this week?
No, I don't think, or we don't think, I should say, the air quality is going to change dramatically. We did see last week a tremendous reduction in air quality and visibility in particular from the fires that were going on in the southwest part of the state as they arced up and over the north of Fairbanks and then came down back over the Yukon and into our area. That does not look like it's going to be too much of a concern this time around. So I think we can anticipate a weekend with the traditional southeast blue skies in the summer.
Great. And then these high temperatures coming up, how usual or unusual are they?
Definitely above normal. To give you an idea, we're talking about on Sunday in the high 70s, low 80s, and even warmer than that going into the next week. To give you an idea, or the listeners an idea, what we're talking about with those kinds of temperatures, the record highs for the month of June, going back to 1913 in the Juneau area, range only between 85 and 87. So if we're looking at temperatures that are in the low to mid-80s, we're talking about forecast temperatures that are going to be challenging long-term records, in some cases more than 100 years old.
That was National Weather Service meteorologist Rick Fritsch. University of Alaska Fairbanks professor has been named to a NASA science team for a European Space Agency's mission to Venus. KUAC's Robin reports.
Dr. Robert Herrick is probably Alaska's foremost expert on Venus.
Venus right now does not have a magnetic field. It also rotates extremely slowly. It also rotates in the opposite direction from the direction it goes around the sun. So it's unusual among the planets that it does that.
There are three missions to Venus planned in the next decade. Herrick says Venus is now getting attention because it's about the same size as Earth, and more astronomical discoveries of Earth-sized planets revolving around stars brings up the question.
Does Earth size mean Earth-like?
Earth and Venus are sibling planets with similar mass and close enough to their sun. But the surface of Venus is uninhabitable, and Herrick wants to know if it ever had life. He's hoping the European Space Agency's radar mission will get a good look at the surface of the planet and what it's made of.
On Earth, the rocks that make up the continents have more of the mineral silica than the rocks that make up the ocean floor. It's very difficult to make these silica-rich rocks on a large scale without having plate tectonics circulating water into the interior. And so this would be a big indicator that at some point in Venus's past, it had a lot more hospitable climate and it might have been inhabitable for a big portion of its life.
Herrick is working on a type of synthetic aperture radar that can penetrate Venus's dense cloud layers and image and map the planet's surface. It's called Vensar, and NASA will build it in the next few years in California. The radar system will launch as part of the European Space Agency's Envision mission to Venus. Herrick was selected for his expertise on Venus, but it didn't hurt that he's at the Alaska Satellite Facility at UAF, where planetary synthetic aperture radar systems attract researchers and graduate students. He's also working on the science team for a U.S. Venus mission called Veritas, and NASA has a second U.S. mission to Venus called Da Vinci. Veritas and Da Vinci are the first U.S. space flights to Venus since the Magellan program ended in 1994.
I entered grad school right as the Magellan mission was launching, and so been studying Venus since the late 1980s.
Because Vensar operates at a similar wavelength to the NASA Magellan mission from the 1990s, scientists can see surface changes over a four-decade time span. Right now, the Japanese spacecraft Akatsuki is orbiting Venus, but too high up for surface research. Veritas, Da Vinci, and Envision are scheduled to launch at three different time points when Earth and Venus are close together, starting in December 2027.
I'm old enough that I'll be retired, semi-retired, by the time particularly the European mission is collecting data.
But there's a new generation of space scientists getting ready. Researcher Induja Ganesh arrives in Fairbanks this fall, making UAF the only organization with two scientists on the 14-member Vensar science team. Robert Herrick says Vensar's imagery might confirm some theories about Venus and throw others out. It could show the chemical composition of the crust and the context between different geologic features that will tell more of the planet's history. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Bears, porcupines, and eagles get a lot of attention in the summer months, especially from tourists. But rangers at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center say there are some small wonders, too. Could you identify a margined white butterfly?
You've probably seen them without even knowing what they are. They're small, little white butterflies that kind of fly around.
Julia Shostak is an assistant director at the Visitor Center, and she says the margined white is one of four main kinds of butterflies we're likely to see around Juneau.
You know, I think a lot of people here come to see our larger fauna, but sometimes, you know, it's nice to think about the smaller things. So thinking about our birds and our insects can really kind of open the world past those larger fauna.
Margined white butterflies can be found sucking nectar on early summer blooms or doing a thing called mudding or puddling.
Lots of butterflies like to do it where they kind of find a more moist area, sometimes little mud puddles, and they like to kind of cool off and drink water there.
She says they take in nutrients from the ground they can't get from plants. They know where to land and drink because chemoreceptors in their feet help them sense the composition of the soil. Shostak says a great place to see this in action is near Nugget Falls by the Mendenhall Glacier. She says the water there has a perfect chemical composition for the butterflies because of glacier silt in the water. But don't step on them.
When they're kind of on the ground in the mud, sometimes they just look like little rocks moving.
If you can't get out to the glacier, don't worry. Shostak says they're all over the place this time of year. Look for a white butterfly with some ashy markings on the wings. It's likely to be a margined white. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strimple. The Anchorage Assembly unanimously passed a motion Tuesday to spend $50,000 for spruce beetle mitigation and restoration. Josh Durand, Director of Parks and Recreation in Anchorage, says the money will be used to cut down infested trees. He said the work is badly needed.
The infestations, it's big.
Durand says it costs about $1,000 to remove each infested tree. Assemblymember Chris Constant commented on how comparatively small the grant was, but stressed the need for action.
That number, $1,000 a tree, first time I've heard that, and that hurts when you think about how many millions of trees are out there. But it's good that we got started early and we're deep in it, and it seems this $50,000 is a drop in the bucket then.
The money will fund work crews targeting infested or beetle kill trees in Anchorage parks and on trails. Durand says the Parks Department will continue to work to build fire breaks and other measures to ensure dead trees don't fuel wildfires this season. Sitka's drinking water is officially prize-winning on a national level. The city's tap water, locally sourced from Blue Lake, won second place last week at the American Waterworks Association Taste Test competition. Sitka placed second, just out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. First place was Water One, an independent public water utility that serves Johnson County, Kansas. This is KTOO.